Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Pisa, a.k.a. T.F. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable, it's the incredible. PZ AKTF dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, also sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all precious, stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip-hop.
What up, world? It's your boy Vic XL, Riding Dirty Radio, Riding Dirty Show. We bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man. Before we get into it, man, I got to say one time for the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. Also got to say one time for the good people over at Ride 95, our internet radio home. Also got to say one time for all the streaming sites, all the streaming services that carry the Ride and Dirty Show and our interviews on demand, like YouTube, Blog Talk, SoundCloud, Audio Mac, iTunes, Messy FM, just to name a few. Go to your favorite streaming site or your favorite streaming source and make sure you type in the words Ride and Dirty Radio, RIDINDURTYRADIO. Type in Ride and Dirty Radio, and you can check out all the goodness of all the people that we've had in the past on this platform over the past 18 plus years. I also want to say, man, everybody, make sure y'all follow us on all social media, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, even on Bigo or YouTube at Riding Dirty Radio, RIDINDURTYRADIO. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today is no different than any other day on the Riding Dirty Show. You know we are the platform that bridges the gap between hip-hop and everyday life. We're the platform that gives the voice to the voices. We are the platforms that are bringing you what's next right now. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, today is no different than any other day on the Riding Dirty Show. So welcome to the platform, author Miss Carrie Kenyatta. How you doing today, ma'am?
Hey, I'm good. Yeah, it's Carrie Kenyatta. It's like Marie with a K.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Everybody does it.
blame it on my southern dialect. I swear to God, if you look in the Guinness Book of World Records of mispronouncing names, I am in there. I have probably tore more names. I don't know why. I just, Miss Carrie Kenyatta. How are you doing?
Yes. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am amazing. The weather here in Atlanta is insane. This weekend it was freezing. Today it seems like a nice fall day. So other than that, I'm blessed and highly favored. Glad to be here. But even more so than being glad to be here, I'm glad and humbled to be talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
All right, so look, let's get into it, Miss. So, Carrie Kenyatta, is Kenyatta your last name?
No, that's my middle name. My middle name is Kenyatta.
Anyone ever told you that your name alone sounds like a celebrity?
I've heard that before. You know, my first name, Carrie, means pure. And my middle name, Kenyatta, means jewel. And But I've heard that before about my name. It's different.
Yes, yes. I'm talking about, I'm expecting a rapper or a singer, not a prestigious author. I'm thinking you're going to come on and give me a freestyle or tell me something about those vocals. But no, we're going to talk about that pen game. The first thing I want to ask you is, where are you from?
I am from a small town in Tennessee called Alcoa. Alcoa, Tennessee, and it's about 20 minutes from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And we're about, about an hour and a half from Chat.
Okay, now, is that where you were born and raised, or is that just where you were raised?
Yes. Born and raised there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the home life for you? What was the home life like for you?
Home life was always really good. I had both parents there. Sometimes it was difficult because my dad worked out of town during the week, and he'd come home on the weekends. But so my mom was left to be the disciplinarian on a lot. But for the most part, you know, had a good childhood. And it was just here and now that I've gotten older, I've been able to remember and reflect on some childhood traumas that actually happened that, you know, I've been suppressing for years. But in general, you know, loving family, really great child life at home.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned some suppressed traumas, and I want to get to that. But you basically came up in a two-parent home, peaceful. Were there any siblings, brothers and sisters?
Yes. I am the fifth child. And so my mom had been married previously, so I have four older siblings, and they were all in high school. My brother right before me was turning 14, 15 years old when I came along. So I was kind of like the oops baby, the accident.
Okay. And now, how well did you get along with your siblings?
Got along really well. Well, with them being older, they spoiled me a lot. My mom, she had another child, so I have a younger sister that grew up in the house there with me. So I have, you know, that my younger sister. And we got along really well. You know, sometimes being closer in age, you know, you tend to argue a little bit more, but we all had a good relationship.
Okay, no doubt. All right, now, I ask a lot of people this question. Now, because even with me, I was in my household, I had a mother and father. My dad worked, mm-hmm. mom worked also, but my dad worked a lot more. So my mom was that disciplinary. She was the person that handled business when I got out of line. How do you feel like coming up in a household with mother and father there? What do you feel like some of the benefits were for you?
With mom and father there, you know, the benefits were security, of course. But I'm a daddy's girl. So
okay.
I think just the fact that my dad was there, you know, he may not have always been there physically, but we always had that security. We knew we were going to be taken care of. And, you know, just having both parents there, you know, my mom taught me how, you know, she was a lot firmer. You know, my dad was kind of letting me get my way. But, you know, they both taught us how to work hard and to go after everything that we wanted.
Okay. All right. Now, and you know what? I have five kids myself, and all my girls are daddy girls. So I know what it's like. And daddy, I'm going to be honest. Daddy don't be wanting to put that hammer down on the girls. My boys catch it. My son, he catches it. But, man, my girls just melt my heart. Even now, they're grown. But I melt my heart. In September, I had the honor of actually doing the wedding ceremony for my daughter. And, man, I couldn't even almost get through it. You would have thought I was about to die or something. I was like, man, it was – I don't know. You girls just – y'all break daddy's heart or y'all make daddy's heart.
Hey, I know. I just always been a daddy's girl, and you know, It is funny. I know one time he had told us he was me and my sister were arguing, getting ready for school, and he's like, "Y'all better cut it out. I'm gonna give y'all a whooping." And we just busted out laughing, you know, because, and that made us stop arguing, you know, because he never spanked us or did anything like that. It was just sometimes just having that father's presence and just the bass in his voice, you know, he didn't have to put his hands on us, but you know, we were definitely spoiled.
His hands,
you know.
So do you agree sometimes it's just something about that man, that male voice, that'll make you get right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Children need their fathers, you know, because, you know, when you think about it, you have two parents, you come from both of them. And so it's just sometimes having that. I was talking to a friend earlier today. We were talking about men and women and their masculine and feminine relationships. And, you know, we're the helpmate, you know, so we need, I think that's just the family unit. And I think it's been broken apart a lot because, you know, when the father isn't in the picture, it leaves the mom to be more in a masculine state and not, she can't, I raise my boys without their father, but I can't teach a boy how to be a man, you know, and then the same thing with girls, you know, my dad set the standard for how I should be treated and he set the bar high. So, you know, it's very necessary for fathers to be in the picture.
Okay. I have to ask this question. When you look at your father and the example he set for you, have you found that to be something that's easily obtainable when it comes to finding a mate, or something that's hard for you to obtain when it comes to finding a mate?
Well, if you read my book, I've been in a few relationships, so it's been, I guess it's been hard, you know, because, like I said earlier, he set the bar high, and, you know, when I got to a point to where I wasn't valuing my worth. And when you get away from feeling that you're worthy, you make choices out of pain. And sometimes you put up with, or you do things, or you make choices that weren't always the best choices. But at least I did have that standard on how I'm supposed to be treated, you know. But like I said, when you're going through hurt and you make wrong decisions, you choose out of pain.
All right. And making a reference to relationships, do you feel like a lot of times, especially when you mention hurt, do you feel like we tend to settle to remove that hurt?
Do we feel like we what? I didn't hear the last part.
We tend to settle.
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes most times when we aren't whole and we develop codependent tendencies, or we tend to be a people pleaser, and that's something that I fell into, you know, we settle, you know, because we don't know our worth. And then sometimes we're worried about what other people think, and we don't want to get out of a relationship or do something because we're afraid what, you know, I'm from a small town, so everybody knows everybody. And so sometimes we make choices, you know, just because people are watching, you know. And so sometimes you do settle. If you're not whole, you're going to settle. And that's the hard part. Sometimes you have to develop or get to a point to where you're developing true authenticity and actually heal from some of these pains.
All right. At what point did you decide to take your life, or at what point in your life did you decide that you wanted to be an author?
To be an author? I changed my major in school from industrial engineering to English. And so I've always had that creative writing. I've always had that gift. But I guess a lot of times when you're living in turmoil and pain and you don't have a chance to get quiet and be by yourself and understand what your gift is, you kind of let it fall to the wayside. I've always said I wanted to write a book, but it was when I was able to get in the right environment and around the right people, you know, I started taking a speaking class and training and mentoring under Eric Thomas, the number one speaker in the world, and also with Tiffany McIntosh. And it's just when I started getting in the room with these people and I'm seeing all these ladies, like, they have books. And I'm like, you know, so it's kind of, you know, it's just like if you're in a group of five people and they're not working and not doing anything, you're going to be the sixth. So it's just a matter of changing your mindset and getting with the right group of people, because when you see that they're able to do things, you can do it as well. I've always wanted to write a book. I just didn't know the means or how to even get started. So for me, it was just changing my environment.
Got you. All right. When you decided to write a book, how did you go about figuring out what you wanted to write about, whether it was going to be fiction, nonfiction? How did you choose what to write about?
I've had so much that has happened to me in my life. I've always said I was going to write a book about my life, you know, tell my story. Because, you know, I used to tell one of my friends told me years ago, she said, listen, if I didn't know you and some of the things you tell me have happened to you, I think you're lying. So I've always known that I've had a story to tell. I just didn't realize, actually, until I started writing the book. And when I completed the book and just the way it made me feel, you know, I told my mentor, I said, I'm a writer. You know, and a lot of times we're trying to find our gift. And writing that book was difficult for me because for me to be able to tell my story, I had to get totally honest with myself and I had to put myself out there on Front Street. So sometimes it's just the fear of what people are going to say or think or know your personal business. And even after I finished everything and turned it in, I was physically ill for a few days because, you know, just being able to emotionally dump 48 years of trauma and just things that I've gone through into a book, it was heavy, you know, but it was also a release and it was part of my healing. So it just never was really a question for me to write my first book as my autobiography. I feel like I've always had something that I could share with the world that would help someone.
Okay. How much time actually went into writing this autobiography for you?
I started my Eric Thomas program last April, and so it was like I started like the summer of last year, and it's like I just once I sat down and I started with a timeline. I wrote a timeline from the day I was born for each year. And then after each, you know, then I just broke it down. Once I got into each year, I could break it up into smaller things that happened. And then once I started writing, it just started to flow. And some days were easier than others to write. I just had to be in the right mindset. I had to be in the right mind frame. But one of the toughest chapters was when I was on drugs, in the darkest time of my life. And it was so difficult to write that chapter. And I felt I got stuck, you know, but what I ended up doing to get out of that spot, I went to the end and I had to work backwards. And it just made it so much easier for me just to get over that difficult part of my life. Cause that was probably the most traumatic.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about some of the stuff that, first of all, tell us the name of the book and why you chose that name.
Okay, the name of my book is Black Diamond, Unbreakable by Kari Kenyatta. And I chose that name because I was trying to think of a name. I was thinking of everything. And it was funny how it just really kind of came together. I was actually, we were in Mexico on vacation. I was riding a horse. And so I kept trying to figure out what I wanted to name this book. And I'm on the horse, and it was a black horse, and I asked the guy what his name was, and he said Diamond. And I just felt like that was a message almost from God, like, that's the name of your book, Black Diamond. So when I started doing research on black diamonds,
I discovered the carbonado is called the black diamond. It's the toughest diamond to cut. And once I understood what a black diamond was and how precious it was and the actual process of forming that black diamond, and it's the toughest diamond to cut, once I realized that, I said, that's me. That's the name of my book. And Unbreakable came because everything that's come my way in life, everything that I've experienced, you know, good and bad, you know, I may bend, but I don't break. You know, I may get knocked down, but I am getting back up. I might get back up on the nine count, but I am getting back up, you know. And so, and sometimes it's difficult. And I've had a lot of people ask me, how do you do it? How do you keep going? And, you know, and so that's something that I just wanted to share in my book. You know, I was speaking with a friend today, and she was just saying, Carrie, sometimes you just make it look easy. And I said, it's not. It's not easy. You know, but the thing is just having persistence and just having that never give up fight, that never give up spirit. Because I know if I quit, I'm going to die. I'm just an overachiever. I've always been that way. But, you know, that's what just pushed me to keep going. And then especially with my kids and my family, they became my why. And once you have a purpose and have a why, it just keeps you from wanting to give up. But I had to share my message with other people, you know, just because you may be a victim of, you know, molestation or abuse or domestic violence, drugs, it's not the end. You can get back up. And so that's how I come up with Unbreakable. Everything that's happened, you know, I may feel broken, but I'm unbreakable.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the cover of the book. How did you go about picking the artwork for the book? And I'm always fascinated about artwork and covers of books. How did you go about picking that cover of the artwork?
Well, I tell you what I wanted for the cover of the book was I went to rehab in 2003, and I went to that rehab. I wanted the picture of what I looked like when they checked me in, because that's what I was going to put on my cover. And when I went, they looked up all the files. They looked through everything. They said, hey, we're sorry. We switched on a new system. That was 20 years ago. Everything's been destroyed. You know, we don't have it. So I was a little, you know, sad about it, but it gave me the idea, you know. I said, you know what? I can recreate that look. And so one thing that I did, my actual photographer, his name is Eli Cox Penson. He's actually from Alcoa, and he's a young gentleman. He's, I think, in his maybe second year of college. Amazing young guy. He does photography, and he's on his way up. So I wanted to be able to pull him with me when I did my book. So I said, hey, Eli, I got to do a photo shoot. I want you to come to Atlanta with me. I got my makeup artist. Her name is Tati out of Studio Pink in Atlanta. And then her friend, she did my hair. And we just created a look. I said, I want half my face to be made up and beautiful, and I want the other half to be, you know. And I explained to her exactly how I wanted it. I told her how I was beat up when I went into rehab. But it's almost like me. At first we thought about doing it like a mirror, but we ended up just doing it just half of a face. And so it's like part of me was healed and part of me was, you know, beaten down. And when I first looked at it, you know, I was like, well, you know, my ex didn't beat me that bad. But the picture for me is depicting not only the domestic violence and the abuse that I've suffered, it's life. Life had literally beat me down, and I helped life beat me down with the choices I made and by the mental, the negative self-talk. Because one day I realized the way I was thinking, and I'm like, man, I talk worse to myself than I talk to anyone. And so I had to change that. But that's how the picture came about. You know, I tried to recreate how I looked when they carried me into rehab. And then it was just, you know, but we actually recreated that look with makeup.
Okay. All right. Now, this is a fascinating story. Tell me some of the things that people can expect to find out about you in the book. I mean, you mentioned rehab. You mentioned some forms of abuse. Tell us some of the things that we can expect to read about you.
I'll tell you what people have told me when they read the book. I've had quite a few people reach out to me, and they tell me that they didn't realize a lot of the things that I'd been through. They will learn I'm funny. I'm funny, and you're going to need your tissues, and you're going to be laughing. You know, it's just sometimes when I wrote the book, some parts were so painful for me. You know, you have to laugh at your pain. You know, but you're going to learn that I'm a fighter. I have a big heart. But the way I wrote the book, I wrote it like you could actually hear my voice. You know,
okay.
And actually, it's really me talking. And so most people tell me it's a page turner. That's what I've been hearing. And, you know, they've been, they haven't been able to put it down. So those things have made me really, really happy. And then I've had other people, you know, hey, my daughter was on drugs, and it really motivated me. It helped me. It inspired me. I'm going through this, you know. And so it's just really been an inspiration for, like, even people who've been on drugs, you know, or teen mothers. I got pregnant when I was 17. And so I have a tender spot for single mothers, teen mothers, and for drug addicts. But it also teaches, they'll see that I'm a businesswoman. You know, when the odds were stacked against me, and, you know, I was a statistic at one time when I had a child, but I said I have to change that narrative and start making some statistics. So I opened a daycare center in 2010. I opened my second daycare center in 2016. And I did this with five kids. You know, my boys are 31 and 27. My girls are 23, 21, and 15. And so most anyone can relate to some of the things I'm dealing with, especially right now in the time that we're in, this, you know, recession and prices are high and just, you know, everybody goes through tough times. And so it just gives an example of my life, and it shows you what a fighter I've been. And people that know me know that I've been through a lot, but not to know me, even the publisher, when she called me, the editor was asking, hey, did you word this right? It says this is an autobiography because this seems like it's fiction. She didn't even think the story was real. That because I'd been through so much. And she said, no, it's definitely her life. It's a real story. And she was just blown away. So a lot of times when people look at you and you seem strong on the outside, or they may see your social media and they don't see anything wrong, you know, I'm not going to put bad things on my social media. You're not going to see the low times of my life, you know. But it's when we are on social media, you're seeing people's highlight reel. But this book, I just get down and honest and tell the truth about things that's happened. And so I think just being real with a lot of people, that's what they really liked about it. And it helped me to actually heal, to get real with myself.
Okay, real quick, couple questions before I let you go. Question number one is,
okay,
tell me a little bit about this rollout party and the release of the book.
Yes. We're having back where I live in Alcoa, Tennessee. There's a location. It's called Broadway Social. A couple of my friends there, Mia and Charity, they own that, and it's a black-owned business. And so that's one thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to make sure that I'm going back to my community and pouring back into my community. So March 11th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., we're going to have a book signing. We're going to eat. I'm going to have, you know, my DJ Prime there. He's a local, you know, my DJ there. And we're just going to eat, and I'm probably going to read some excerpts of the book and just sign autographs and just have a good time with the people from my hometown and just promote my book out that way. And just that's my first stop back home.
All right. Now, let's talk about Read It and Eat. I love that.
Yes, that's what we'll be doing.
Okay, so you're basically the title of the rollout party is Read It and Eat.
Yeah, we'll be at Broadway Social. That's the place to be, you know. So I was like, why not have it there and also be able to support, you know, my family back home, and I'm big on entrepreneurship. And so that's just a way that I feel like I can give back, you know, be able to go back home and just even to show the people that I'm proud of for starting their businesses and doing things, you know, to be able to see them there.
Okay. Couple more questions. Number one, how did you link up with bepublished.org?
My mentor and coach, Tiffany McIntosh, she set me up with bepublished.org. They were amazing. And it wasn't just, you know, me getting a book out. They were actually there, just pushed me through every step of the way. So they were amazing getting this book done. But I got there through Tiffany McIntosh. She's the co-founder and owner of Six Figure Chicks organization here in Houston, Texas.
I've actually talked to Tiffany before.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, I've talked to Tiffany.
Yep. And that's my girl.
You mentioned social media. How can people find you on social media, and how can people snatch up this book if they can't make it to read it and eat?
Okay. Well, you can find me on Facebook as Karee Kenyatta Black Diamond, or you can also have another site that says Black Diamond. You can go to my website and buy the book. It's Karee, K-A-R-I, Kenyatta, KENYATTA.com. You can purchase it there, or you can go to Amazon. It's at any book. I think it's on Barnes & Noble as well. So you can order it there. Just put in my name and then Black Diamond Unbreakable. But you can find me on TikTok. I'm Black Diamond Official on there. And then also as well as Instagram. Also just Black Diamond, Karee Kenyatta.
All right. It's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you. And
yes.
Do me a favor. Check back in with me in a few months. I just want to keep up with you and chop it up with, and, you know, as you go on into your endeavors, because we didn't even get a chance to talk about the fact that you have four businesses. So there's so much we can cover, and I don't think 30 minutes is enough.
Yes. Hey, I know. It's a lot. But I really appreciate you having me on. And I'll message you, too, because I want to send you a copy of my book. I want to autograph it and send it to you. I just appreciate you allowing me to be on your platform today, and it was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. I got your Facebook request. I got to accept it, and we'll communicate that way.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
You as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's Miss Karee Kenyatta. She has a book. Y'all definitely make sure y'all check out the book. Please check out the book. The book is about survival. The book is about strength. The book is about just getting through life, and it's called Black Diamond Unbreakable. All right? It's your boy, Vic Actel. This is the Ryan Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life. We will see you guys next episode. All right? Y'all be safe. Peace.